Well, good morning. Man, it's great to see you here this morning at Bethany Church. And, you know, I want to give my congratulations and a big shout out to all of our 2019 graduating high school seniors. We couldn't be more proud of you. And I was just sitting there looking at this great group. I think this may be the largest graduating class. There are about a dozen seniors have been part of our ministry, youth ministry, student ministry here at Bethany Church. And they're a great, awesome bunch of young people, and so proud of them. Many of them, I can remember when they were born. And so I'm just exceptionally proud of this group of students. And I got thinking, you know, I can remember for a good number of them that have been part of our church family when their parents graduated from high school. And all of a sudden, I just feel kind of old. And but we're so excited about our seniors, and know God's got great things planned for them in the future. And thank you, parents. I was looking at a bunch of parents that are sitting here talking to a bunch of them before the service. And for some, you know, this is their first graduating student and family member child that's kind of getting ready to go off to school. And they're easy to spot. You can kind of tell they're just a little stunned. And taking it all in. Some of you, it's your last one. And you're doing the parts, you're looking good, but you're kind of thinking, you know, it won't be long, I'll have an empty nest. And you're trying to contain your enthusiasm and excitement about that. And I understand that completely. Matter of fact, our daughter's home with her husband this weekend. She flew the coop a long time ago. And her mom just sort of couldn't, you know, just cried and cried and cried. And I, you know, it took me about 5 minutes to get used to an empty nest. I love my daughter, love my son, but I'm always glad when they come back to visit, and they just stay for a little while, and they're great. So glad to have Katie and Jared here, and bless the family. So congratulations as seniors. You know, I don't have a message for our graduates specifically, because I was thinking about today in senior recognition. And then as we launch into this new series today, I thought if I were to have a message for graduating seniors, this would be an appropriate message. It might just be this message, but it's a message for all of us. Last week, we kicked off a brand new series that'll take us all the way through May, right up into a summer, right after Memorial Day, called Always Near. Looking at 10 different ways we can delight in the closeness of God. It's based on this little book, and this book was written by Robert J. Morgan. Rob was here last week to kick off this series, and it was just awesome. Many of you picked up his book. We have copies of these still in the lobby, so if you didn't get a copy last week, you want to pick up a copy of it, and a few of Rob's other books are there. They're the best price you're going to find. I was in Mardell's earlier this week, and they had their copies of Always Near on this shelf, about $17, I think. You can get it out there for $11, so if you'd like to pick one up, be sure to stop by the lobby and get one. Now, if you have your outline there on your worship bulletin, I really would encourage you to take it out this morning. It'd be a great way to start this series. But right at the top is this foundational truth that these next 5 weeks we'll be building on and looking at as we talk about the nearness, the closeness of God, how God is close to us, and how we can draw close to Him. So right there it is. This is the foundational truth, and that is that God wants a relationship with you. Now, that's really is the truth in and of itself, and that is the message of all the Bible, just right down into a nutshell, is that God desires and longs and seeks to have a relationship with you, and He has done everything to make it possible. He's done everything to restore a relationship that was broken by us, to bring us into a relationship with Him. And this is the truth. God wants to be near to us. He wants to be near to you. He wants to have this intimate, close relationship with you. That is the message through the entire Bible. Psalm 16:11 is sort of a theme verse. It says, you make known to me the path of life. That's a pretty good verse for graduates to hold on to. You make known to me the path of life as you're getting ready to venture into this new chapter of life and now on your own. To remember, God makes known to us the path of life, and you fill me with joy in your presence. And there we see that God tells us in his presence, we are filled with joy. And so joy comes from being in the presence of God with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, Psalm 16:11 is kind of counterintuitive to what most people think about God, because they think that God is this cosmic killjoy and that you can't have any fun or pleasure and enjoyment and still be a follower of God. And yet God tells us that things entirely turned around, that God would tell you that he created fun and that he knows how to give pleasure. And that all comes from being filled with the presence of God with his joy and his pleasures at his right hand. And so that's what we want to do, is how can we experience the closeness and the nearness of God? So right top of your outline, another truth that's foundational is in every relationship. Now this is in every relationship. Now you can start thinking about all the relationships you have in life, from the most intimate to those that are more professional, less personal, but it doesn't really matter. In every relationship, you are either drawing nearer, that you're getting closer to that person and that relationship is going stronger and deeper. Well, you're drawing nearer, or you are drifting away, that you're drifting apart. You're drifting away. The relationship isn't what it used to be. You can tell the closeness isn't there. That relationships are not static. That relationships are always moving. They're dynamic. They're always changing. Now you take a moment and you think about the relationships in your life. And you can think through your whole life and different relationships that you have. And I was doing that this week, and of course I thought about probably the most important relationship personally for me, human relationship, is with Donnell. And you think about a husband-wife relationship, and we're always either drawing closer to one another or we're going through times that we're drifting away, but it's never static. I thought about people I knew in high school. And we've got a high school reunion coming up. You just got something in the mail. Made me think about those guys and gals that went to high school with a long time ago. You know, I got thinking, I'm barely in touch. I can barely remember. I kind of used to have a Facebook relationship with a handful of those people. And yet, years ago, we were so close, we thought we would be close for all of our lives. And the truth is that, well, we were for a while, but then we started drifting away, and we never worked at being coming closer together. And so you're either drifting away or you're drawing near, and that is true of your relationship with God. You're drawing closer to God or you're drifting away from God. Now might be a good time just to stop for a moment and think about your relationship with God and how would you describe it? I'm close to God. I feel that this intimate relationship, we're drawing closer to God. Every day I get closer to God. Or you might be thinking, I'm not as close to God today as I was last year or 5 years ago or when I first became a Christian. Now there's two really foundational verses that would be helpful, that have been helpful to me as I think about my relationship with God and the nearness of God. As I think about this whole subject, the nearness of God, it's Psalm 139:16, and I love it in the Living Bible, that old paraphrase I can remember reading as a kid. And it simply says, God, you saw me before I was born, and you scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. Now, why wouldn't I want a relationship with someone that has scheduled my every day and knows exactly how many days I have in this life? He knows the day that I'll leave this life for the next life. That is motivation for me. So, how to know this person? I want to be in a relationship with someone that has my days numbered and scheduled every one of them out. Or here's this verse, Philippians 3:10, and this is in the Amplified Version. And that Amplified Version says, for my determined purpose is, and this is where Paul says, this is the one thing that I do. This is my determined purpose in life, that I may know him. I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, receiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And so Paul says, here is my one determined purpose in life, that I know God, I know him better every day. And I have this increasing knowledge of God, and his closeness to God goes deeper. Now, anyone will tell you that deals with people in relationships and that communication is the cornerstone and the building block of all relationships. It all just boils down to communication. Without communication, our relationships begin to draw apart, drift apart, and then ultimately become severed or fractured. That same truth, of course, is real when we talk about our relationship with God. And the truth is, we have a God who desires and longs to communicate with us. So next week we'll talk about this. Today we'll talk about it. This communication, our relationship with God, our communication with God, and that God is a God who speaks. We have a God who speaks to us, who wants to communicate with us. Now, if there's someone that wants to speak to us, and if that someone is God, well, then it would be very important for us to understand, to know, and to realize it's important that I listen to him. That if he says something and he's speaking to me, that relationship with him will ultimately determine how well I listen to what God is saying to me. So here's our text. If you have your Bible, I invite you to open it up. On the back of that outline of your bulletin, there's that outline of the message today. And some of these verses we're using there. And just to use that today as you study along. And here it is in Job 33, 14. For God does speak. We have a God who speaks. A God who communicates with us. Now one way and now another. Meaning he's a God that doesn't just speak in one way. In one mode of communication, but he's a God that speaks in a variety of ways. That God speaks in many different ways, though Job said, though no one perceives it. And so God speaks different ways of speaking, but it's possible that we ignore it, that we don't hear it. So here's the question. How does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? And how do we know that we're listening to God's voice and it's God's voice that is speaking to us? And so what I'm going to give you today, very practical, four primary ways, and these aren't the only ways, but I think these are four of the important ways in which God does speak to us. And so here's number one, you have it right there on your outline, is that God speaks to us through the Bible. This is his word. It's his word preserved. It's his word that has been recorded. It's his word that he has superintended from the beginning to make sure that we have exactly what he wants us to have. This is his word to us. And so ultimately, the most authoritative, the most assured way that we have God's word and we know that it's him speaking to us is through his written word to us. It's the Bible. So it's the primary way that God speaks to all of us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul writes that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. God breathed inspired. It's authoritative and useful, tells us what is true, and it will point out where we're missing the mark and what is wrong in our lives. I don't really like to admit it, but there are times that I need someone to tell me and to show me what is wrong in my life. And God says, I'll do that in my word. It says it corrects us when we're wrong. But not only does it correct us when we're wrong, but it's going to show us the way to do what is right. In verse 17, God uses this word to prepare us, to equip his people to do every good work. Oh man, it's just loaded up there. This is it. If I want to get through this life and the God that made me, numbered my days, if I want to be filled with his presence and know the joys and the pleasures he has, He says, I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to give you my word. And this is what you need. It will guide. It will direct. It will correct. It will give you exactly what you need. It is inspired, which means God breathed. And so it's there. You can trust it. It will guide me. It will direct me. It will correct me. It will help me. Only if I listen to God speak his words to me. And so it's very important every day to spend a few minutes listening to God speak to us through his word. It means reading his word, studying his word, meditating on his word, memorizing his word. We're letting God talk to us, and we're listening to God as he talks to us through his word. When I was growing up, most of my childhood, what I can remember is my dad traveled in his work. So what I can remember is from an early child through almost all of my childhood is on Monday morning, my dad would leave for wherever he was going to be working that week. And I can remember that. And it was kind of sad, and, you know, dad was leaving. And then we'd cry a little bit for the first, for a while. We kind of quit crying because we knew dad was leaving every Monday. We got used to it. And that happens. Then I know that Friday, dad would be home. And so every Friday, what would happen, mom would gather kids up and say, we got kids, we got to clean the house up, your dad's coming home. And so everything we let go during the week, we frantically got cleaned up because when dad come home to a clean house. What I really remember during that time is every day my dad called home. And so he'd get upset if we called and the phone was busy. They'd irritate him a little bit. And so we knew that evening that we could expect dad to call home. And my folks made it through over almost 50 years of marriage, and they were separated by work for a good number of those, but the relationship stayed together because they talked every day. It wasn't the best way to do it. Nobody probably would ever recommend doing it that way, the key was my dad made sure to call every day. The most important advice I could give to our graduating seniors today is as you go off to school, go off into life, you go off into your career, that you make it a consistent, lifelong practice that hopefully you've already cultivated and maybe you've even seen in your parents. But you spend time every day in God's Word, listening to God speak to you. And then when you're faced with those challenges of life and big decision, what God's will is, when your faith is challenged in the classroom, you go through a crisis in life, you can listen to what God's word has to say to you. It's the owner manuals of life. It's where we go when we want to seek about the most important decisions of life. We go through times of crisis that God speaks to us. And so first of all, God speaks to us through his word, through the Bible. Secondly, God speaks to us through his teachers. And what I mean by here, he speaks to us through preachers, pastors. He speaks to us through Bible teachers. He speaks to us through other believers. He speaks to us through other believers that get our friends that speak to our face, even though we may not have the title of teacher or preacher. God speaks to us through other people. And primarily, he will speak to us through the teachers of his word that now are giving audible voice to the words that are written there. And so, let me just ask you, have you ever been in a church service that you felt like, man, the preacher has been reading my mail? I mean, he is speaking. He's speaking right to me. How did he know that? And I've been in those times and experiences in life. And my guess is for those of you who've been in church any amount of time, listen to any preaching, that there's those times that you have that God is speaking directly to you. And so what I'll tell you is that the preacher wasn't speaking directly to you, but God was. And God was using that teacher, that preacher, that person to speak into your life. You know, in my Bible, right back here, I just got certain things that I just kind of clip back there. And over the years, it's kind of grown and got quite a few things back there. And the different things I'll read or things that I'll just kind of clip them out, put them right there. They're encouragement to me. But one of the things I have back there is I have a few of people's notes, cards, or emails they've sent to me after a certain Sunday and hearing a certain sermon that they wanted to encourage me and let me know how God used that to speak to their life. And I can tell you that's invaluable to us who are pastors, because many times we wonder, are we just not pounding sand? And this is, I mean, and y'all are great, but there are times you don't look all that interested in what I have to say. I don't mean that bad, not talking to anyone particularly, but that, you know, because you said, you know, I've heard him before, and I understand. But over 6 years ago, I got an email that, man, it was, this is invaluable to me as a preacher. It came from a person who had been attending our church but then moved away. And as this person was moving, she said, I'm going back to my hometown, and so I haven't been able to find a church yet. I've missed Bethany ever since I've moved, and just pray I'll find a home there. And she talked about how, you know, she remembers the people that sat around her, named them by name. You know, you have a ministry right around you, those people that are sitting around you Sunday and Sunday night. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but people who come to church tend to sit in the same place every Sunday. It's crazy. I don't know if y'all bought those seats, but we will sell them to you, okay? We will sell them to you. And then you say, someone wants your seat, you can say, I bought this seat. And you'll be telling the truth. Otherwise, you know, you didn't really buy it. It's just general admission usually. But everybody just kind of gets in the same seat. It's just a sociology of preaching, of church sitting. But then she talked about, by name, the people that were around her Sunday. It says, I miss their smiles and encouraging words. Wow. Then went on, I miss your sermons. Now that was like one time, that's the only time anybody's ever told me that. I miss your sermons. See, he had a way of teaching instead of preaching. I think that was meant to be a compliment, because there's just, preaching to most people is spiritual nagging. And so it's, preaching is a pejorative word most of the time. You know, so my kids say, hey, Daddy, we're at home. Quit preaching at us. You know, it's just spiritual nagging. He said, I miss your sermons. And then she talked about how in her profession, she would try to kind of emulate what she saw happening here as she poured her life into young people. And this is what she said. She said, you know, I try to model my style after your sermon life. When your sermons were over, I'd leave church feeling good about God in my life instead of beating myself up for past sins. I could have just quit right then and said, this isn't getting better than this. I hope that my students leave the classroom every day feeling that good about themselves as well. Thanks for having such an impact on my life. Now, I don't share that with you, so you'll know that how good a preacher I am, and how lucky you are to be able to hear me preach. No. But what it reminds me of is sometimes you don't know the impact of your presence in somebody's life. And as a pastor, you just trust every sermon that God takes those words and uses them in a way. And so, you know, the pastor's prayer is always, in a sense, this prayer that, God, you already know who's going to be in church this Sunday. And God, you already know where they're going to sit in church, because they sit in the same spot every Sunday. And they're going to hear this sermon that hopefully you've given to me. And this is your message, not my message. You know their needs, their struggles, whatever they're going through. Would you use your words to speak to them? And that's a prayer that every pastor will pray before we come to this place to give a sermon. And so in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, when you got the message of God we preach, you didn't just pass it off as just one more human opinion. So Paul's talking to his church. Hey, when you heard me preach and you heard me teach, you didn't pass that off as just some other guy just coming along with some opinions here, because it's really not our opinions. You took it to heart as God's true word to you, which it is. God himself at work in you as believers. And that's what it is. And so there is this sacred moment that takes place that we're, as a human instrument, it's a tremendous responsibility. At times feels overwhelming. These aren't, you know, and so, I'm just frail, and but I get this opportunity to take God's word and hopefully handle it right and pass it off right and let God then through his Holy Spirit take it in your life and you let the power of that word work in your life. So here's a little sermon within a sermon. And it's going to be just a little mini sermon called How to Listen to a Sermon. Okay? But you're thinking, well, that's goofy. You might as well preach a sermon how to watch TV. Because how simple is it is to listen to a sermon. And if you kind of struggle sometimes, wondering, I come to church a lot and I listen to a lot of sermons, but they don't really seem to make much difference. And they kind of, I just kind of putting in my time. I'm watching the clock. I had 10 more minutes. But if you've ever just thought for a moment and said, well, I wonder why God's word doesn't speak to me through the sermons I hear at church. It may be you're not listening. It could be the sermon is just flat out boring and bad, and that's going to happen at times. But just hang around. We'll try to, pick our game up a little bit. But how do you listen to a sermon? It's kind of an odd title. But there is, it makes the difference in the worship experience you have if you come with this ability to be able to hear God speak to you. Okay? And that's what happens in this moment. Now, I heard a pastor friend of mine one time say he went to work out and he's, trying to get in shape and is working out. It was a vigorous workout. And the trainer there in this team, this group session was just motivating, but nothing really worked. Because you kind of get to my age, it doesn't much matter what you're going to say to me in those workouts. I've kind of heard it all. I'm kind of going at my own pace, which is really slow. And, they didn't call me anything they want to call me. I've already been called all those things. And so that's kind of what was happening. He's just kind of but then the trainer just, as motivation to the group, but speaking directly to him, said, you're here anyway. Why don't you just get the most out of it? Well, that's great. That's the way I should approach my workouts. Probably a good way I should approach my spiritual workout at church. I'm here anyway. You're here. So you gave up, an hour to be here this morning. Why not just get the most out of it? So how do you listen to a sermon? Here it comes, it's not really hard, but it might get to, in Luke 8, there's a parable of the sower that cast out the seed and it fell on hard ground like concrete and some weeds and some was shallow and then some was really good soil and in Luke chapter 8. But in Luke chapter 18, it talks about, it says, consider carefully how you listen. And so this is how you can listen and consider it. Here, you can just jot these down because you really should be listening with, a piece of paper and a pen, a Bible open, and notes right there. And otherwise, you're just sitting in the classroom just trying to get through it. You should listen with a soul that is prepared. That even before you got here, you began to prepare spiritually to be receptive to God's word. Secondly, with a mind that is alert. And that you're looking for that thing that God does say to you and speaks to you. Oh, he's speaking. God, that's you speaking to me through your Holy Spirit. With a Bible that is open. And that could be your Bible app. It could be your Bible. It could even be most. That's why we put most of the scriptures that we use, the important ones there, on the back of an outline. So, you can just have them there. We make it about as easy as we can. The Bible is open. A heart that is receptive. You say, God, I'm anticipating and expecting you to speak to me today. Through your word, would you give me something I can take from this message today? And then fifthly, with a life and with a will that is ready to act. And so here's just a little insight. Sometimes young students ask me about preaching, ask old preachers about this all the time. It's just for me, just a little something I developed. So every time I preach, I want everybody to learn something, to feel something, and to do something. And then you check the intellect, the emotion, and then the application of it. And so that's how you listen to a sermon. And so you're here anyway. I want you to get the most out of it, all right? Oh, but let me just then move on quickly to number three. And number three is that God speaks through impressions. Now, this is important. The other two, I think you can sort of hold up as a standard to check. I know this is God's word. He says this. And then as you listen to someone who is teaching and speaking God's word, you can check them out. Because sometimes I listen to some preachers, and I think, I don't think that's God really speaking there. And I check them out with the standard of God's word. But probably even for me, which can be a little more dicey, is I have impressions or I have ideas. I have thoughts. And I think, God, is that you? And my problem is that I seem to think that God will most of the time think the thoughts I think. And so God and I are just right in tune. But I kind of forgot about Isaiah 55 where it says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh, God doesn't think like I think. Oh, wait a minute. Or I don't think like God thinks. So when I have this impression, and these impressions then are these ideas or thoughts that come into our mind, and as believers, we're gauging that to see if that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. These are more subtle and these are less certain. They have to be tested. God can put ideas into our mind through His Holy Spirit. That is called inspiration on the positive side. He just sort of inspires us, or it's conviction when we need to be corrected or reproved or moving in the wrong way. But you know what? The devil also has the ability to speak and put ideas and impressions in our mind, and they are always negative. When that happens, that leads to temptation. That leads to harm. And ultimately, it's condemnation. And so that is the work of the Holy Spirit that is taking place. And so often what happens is that it says in John 14, 26, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you, speak to you, guide you in all things, and remind you. Look at this. He's going to remind you of everything I said to you. So the Holy Spirit then, as God speaks to us through our impressions, is bringing along these ideas that are already there in His book. They'll never contradict His book. So, for example, if you think that God has given you the idea that, you know what, it's okay to, you know, to live with my girlfriend, and, you know, this is 2019. I think God is telling me to do that. I'd say, no, He's not. I'm certain He's not. I'm like 110%. That's not God telling you that. Because it tells us right here that these kinds of relationships are intended to be in the covenant of a man and a woman, in marriage. And so anything outside of that, I don't know what it is, but it's not God speaking to you. That's the world speaking to you. And so you test everything by God's word. You test the impressions so you can trust those impressions that God gives you. And so God's word will never be contradicted. So let me give you this and wrap up with this real quick. This is how it works. This is what the voice of the enemy, not what it sounds like, but what it feels like. The voice of the enemy will come with messages like this. This situation is hopeless. You blew it last time. You're going to blow it again this time. You're no good. You're too afraid, too stupid, too shy, too ugly, too whatever. No one cares about you. You're all alone. Why don't you give up? Why are you trying? Why don't you just run away? You're a failure. It's too late to fix it. Nothing and no one can help you. No one would ever want you. God is mad at you. God will never help someone like you. Everyone else gets good things, but not you. And it just goes on and on like that. That is Satan, the deceiver and the destroyer, and he uses whatever message he can to discourage and disorient and destroy you. You know, but the messages of the Spirit that come from the Word of God is, you are never alone. I am always with you. I am near. You're my beloved child. I want a relationship with you. I've done everything to make that relationship possible. I died for you. You're my beloved child. You don't need to do anything to please me. I love you already. Trust me. I'll give you strength. I'll guide you through this. Believe in me and I'll lead you. You are mine forever. There is no sin so serious that I would ever, never, ever forgive you for it. All things work together for your good. My plans are good for you if you only follow you. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit only makes us feel good and he's only a positive speaker? No. Because there are times when he comes to speak in our lives when we need to be corrected and we need to be disciplined. So how do you tell the difference between Satan's condemnation and then the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Well, this is what Satan sins. You've sinned so many times that God could never forgive you. You are weak and hopeless. That your sin was this sin, that sin was the last straw. God is against you. He's not for you. And it won't do any good to apologize. So he tempts you to rationalize and try to figure all that and to wallow around in that self-defeat and guilt. But God just does the opposite. The Spirit says to you, what you did was wrong, but you are forgiven. Here's what you need to make that situation right. I'll help you take the next steps. Don't deny that sin. Don't cover it up, but bring it out to the light and confess it and receive forgiveness. That you know who you are speaking to and who is speaking to you and how you listen to them. That is the voice of God that is speaking to you. But here's the last way I want to share with how God speaks to us. And God speaks to us through our pain. He speaks to us through pain and suffering. At a time when we feel like God is often the most distant from us. C.S. Lewis, in his little book called The Problem of Pain, he said there, we can ignore pleasure, but pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain. Pain is his megaphone to arouse a deaf world. And I know this morning, there are a lot of us here today that are struggling with pain and hurt. And you wonder if God has just left you alone in that. Well, I can tell you that God wants to speak to you. He's as close now as he's ever been. He's close. He tells us he is close and near to who? The brokenhearted. And in that pain, he wants to come alongside you to bring you healing and to give you hope and let you know there is a purpose that can come out of that pain. God doesn't necessarily cause our pain, but he can take that pain and use it for his glory and his purposes in working it together in our lives. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning. And my hope and prayer is that God has been speaking to all of us, but I know he's been speaking at least to some of us this morning. And you may have come in here with a broken heart and a situation is hopeless. And you may just have showed up today because, you know, I've kind of gave up on the church a long time ago because all they do is just make me feel bad and want my money. I don't know what brought you here. But this could be a time that God is going to use it to speak to you in his word. And I'd love to show you how you can meet this Jesus and have a relationship with God. He is near to you today. You can come into that presence of his with that relationship restored through the power of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be right down here at the front. Love to meet with you, answer any questions you have about what it means to be close to God in this relationship with him. Father, and you are Father. Some of us haven't talked to you in a long time, but some are speaking to you today. We know we're confidently in your word because your word tells us if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. And so that thought and that voice we hear that tells us it's too late, I can't be forgiven, we know that's not true because your word is true. I pray you'll move and speak to so many hearts that are broken today. Father, some who are searching need guidance and are hopeless today. But Father, I pray that you'll move among us as we worship you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.